All right. Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms that we have here and those who may be joining us online as well. As you can probably tell, I am not Shelly. I am Alex, and I get to be part of a pastoral team here at The Vine, and I am thankful for each and every one of you who are joining us here on this wonderful Mother's Day. Can we just give another shout of praise and a hand for the church that we've had already through worship this morning? Praise the Lord for all he has done and how great he is. But without further delay, I want to introduce Shelly Salzuk, who is going to be leading us in the message today and sharing what God has put on her heart. What you may not already know about Shelly is that she is also a stylist. She owns a salon and does a great job from what I've seen while I've been sitting in the opposite chair when I'm there and she's cutting hair. But we were joking that she will now have to be nicknamed the preaching stylist, because as we were on the way to church this morning, our son Nate was in the back seat and he asked, is Miss Shelly going to be wearing her apron while she's preaching today? Because that's how he's most often seen her, is when she's cutting hair. So you got to wear it next time.
I know.
The preaching stylist, I mean, that works.
Might be more comfortable for me.
Yeah, there you go. You feel like you're at work.
That's right.
But I just want to welcome Shelly up here today, and if we can, just give her a hand and a warm welcome from the Vine Church family. We know and believe that God's going to do great things through you today, so I'm just going to step off the stage and let you have it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I'm happy to be here. This is my first time speaking, so y'all show me some grace. The text that I'm going to read to you today is from Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50. It's called A Sinful Woman Forgiven. And I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with fragrant oil. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm a crier. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I think sometimes it's hard for us to read these stories in the Bible and truly comprehend what is going on because of the significance of their culture. I think when we live here, we tend to read these stories and we look at it from our perspective of living in this world. And so today I want to kind of bring some things forward about their culture and things they did at that time to show you the significance of what's going on and what is truly important in this story. The first thing I want to talk about is in the Middle East, both then and now, they have customs that seem kind of rigid and we would consider prejudiced. They were a culture focused on a lot of class and status. The rabbis and the government officials, the Pharisees and the religious leaders deemed themselves clean and were at the top of the class system. The sinners, the poor, the people with health afflictions were also deemed as unclean and were viewed as less than, and therefore they were at the bottom of the class ranking. Women were already at the bottom of the chain and were really looked to be as servants to men. They really had no worth, and their value was wrapped into who they were married to, and if they weren't married, then ultimately they had no value at all. They were sometimes even sold into slavery, but Jesus came and he changed all of that. The Jewish people really focused on honor and shame that went hand in hand in their class system. Jesus came and he gave value to women. He brought them out of the shame and truly brought them into honor. The very fact that he spoke to them and loved these unclean, unworthy women in the Bible was really frowned upon by the Pharisees and other religious leaders. Jesus was a rebel in his time. He came and truly flipped the order of things. He loved those who the religious people had deemed as unclean and virtually untouchable. I always say, you know, the Bible talks about being born for a time such as this. I just don't think I could have made it during that time. I think, you know, I probably would have been one of those women that were stoned or the woman at the well because, you know. And anyway, so I think this story of the woman in Luke shows us that. So I'd like to start by talking about, we know that this story is taking place at the Pharisees named Simon's home. We know that there are going to be a meal at a dinner table. And so here's one way we might truly understand what's going on, because I know for myself, I've always imagined any story in the Bible of them sitting at a dinner table that, you know, they're sitting in a chair like we are and around the table, but that's not how they ate back then. They lied on their left side and ate to free up their right hand. And I think of what a mess I would make if I had to lay down and eat. But that's how they did. They didn't start sitting in chairs until the 5th century. And so for 1,000 years, they sat like that. And that's important because of the class system that they had. So the only people that were allowed to sit at that table were the important people, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the rabbis, and the sinners, and the women, and anybody else that was deemed unworthy would have to sit along the wall. So that's important because Jesus got to sit at that table because he was a rabbi and he was deemed important in their eyes. So his head was towards the table and his feet was towards the wall where all the sinners would be sitting. So try to get that visual in your head of Jesus sitting there and this his head to the table and this woman sitting by him at the wall. Another thing that's important to understand is their culture was big on hospitality, even though they clearly judged people. They were kind to the ones they wanted to be kind to. And so they would, and when you entered their home, they would give you a kiss of welcome. They would wash your feet with water. They would give you olive oil for your hands because they used it as a form of soap. They would anoint the heads of the honored guests. And of course, this wasn't shared with the unclean, unworthy guests who were sitting along the wall. So now we know how people were looked at and treated back then, and we know that Jesus was really different and why he upset those religious leaders in his time. He really came and changed the whole system up. He came and truly flipped everything on its head. Also, another thing that's important that we need to know is that Jewish people viewed Scripture a little differently than we did. We tend to look at it as more of a symbolic, metaphorical thing sometimes, and they didn't. They looked at it as a literal thing. They were told to write it on their hearts. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Do not let truth and mercy leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on your hearts." They took Scripture literally, not metaphorically. I have a client, because now you know I do hair, and his name is John, and he is a Jew. And he just recently was telling me that he has a mezuzah hanging on his door. And that is a metal tube, and it literally holds Scripture. And mezuzah means, in Hebrew, doorpost. And they have that because they literally take the Scripture from Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 8 through 9, that says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost, on your house, and on your gates." So this is another Scripture that they still to this day take literally, and they have those hanging on their doors. So when the people of that time read Psalm 56:8, they took it literally as well. Psalm 56:8 says, "You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Psalm 56:8 speaks of collecting your tears into a bottle or a jar, and the women of that time literally collected their tears into jars that they carried around and even passed down from generation to generation. Psalms was written 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, so these women had had this custom for many, many years. God gives value to our tears. Our tears are important to him. The tear jars give significance to our tears because it is saying they are worth recognizing, they are worth keeping, they are worth storing up. They are worth all of this because the one who loves us and suffered for us can take it. He can take all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our suffering. He can take it all. So then there's one more thing that we need to learn before we can get to the heart of this story, and that is the significance of hair. Can you believe I would teach on hair today, right? A woman's hair was very important in the biblical world. Hair in the Bible has a spiritual significance. There's a lot of stories in the Bible that talk about hair, you know, Samson and all those. It symbolizes strength, devotion, and consecration to God. A woman's hair was her glory. That says so in Scripture as well. Therefore, she had to wear it up, and she had to keep it covered. It was not allowed to be let down and seen by any man other than her husband. There are still places in the Middle East that believe this until this day. There are a few reasons that a man can divorce a woman, and her hair being exposed to another man is one of them. So the fact that this lady let her hair down in an audience is very important to know that that was a no-no. It would have been perceived as her losing her mind, you know? So we know that hair is very important. So now we went over how they have class systems, how they judged others, the poor, you know, they had to sit along the wall. Jesus was sitting at the table. We went over the fact that, you know, they collect their tears in jars. They take Scripture seriously and literally. Also, we talked about, you know, the how women had no rights and therefore she was already looked down upon. And then we talked about their hospitality and all that and their hair. And so now that we have kind of learned some things that would be culturally different from the way we view things, because I think most of the things we talked about, most of us would think would be a little off or a little absurd to most. I couldn't dare imagine mistreating somebody that came into my home and making them sit along the wall or judging a woman. Clearly, I have my hair down. I mean, I hope my husband doesn't try to divorce me for it, you know? I mean, it kind of sounds bizarre. So when we read those things in the Bible, it's hard for us to really truly wrap our head around why this story would be so significant. So now that we've learned these things, I want to read it again, but this time I want to read it with a new set of eyes and a new perspective. So Jesus has accepted an invitation to eat at a Pharisee's named Simon's home. We have a woman who has no worth. We know she has no worth because she doesn't even have a name. They don't even name her here. And you know they knew who she was, okay? We know that she is a sinner and viewed culturally as less than. We don't know her name. She's desperate. She knows Jesus is going to be at this dinner. She knows she is going to be viewed, how she's going to be viewed and how she is going to be judged, but she goes anyway. She knows she will have to sit along the wall. She knows she doesn't have a seat at the table, but she goes anyway. She goes with all that she has. She takes her very expensive oil with her, and we don't know this, but I believe she brought her tear jar with her. She's desperate to be in the presence of Jesus. She takes her seat along the wall with the rest of the sinners, and she waits for her opportunity. I've heard this story my whole life, and I've always envisioned Jesus in a chair and her falling at her his feet weeping. But now I know that, and I've learned that now that's not how it happened at all. So think about the position of her and the position of Jesus at the table. I've often thought that she went for his feet because she was bowing down, but she went for his feet ultimately because that's all she had. That's all she could get to. She took what she could get. She knew she needed a Savior, and she knew Jesus was him. So she begins to pour the oil on his feet, and she weeps, pouring her tears on his feet. She kisses his feet, and she wipes them with her hair. The Pharisees is thinking to himself, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know who this woman is and what she does. She is touching him, and she is a sinner. Then Jesus proceeds to school him by telling him a story and asking him a question. I heard a preacher say one time that, you know, Jesus was kind, but he wasn't nice. He would call you out and should not sugarcoat, and I think this is a good example of that. He begins to tell him a story, a parable about two people who owed a man some money. He owed 500 denarii, which would have been about 8 or more years' worth of wages. Could you imagine owing that? And the other owed 50, which was about 10 months of wages. When they had nothing to repay the man, he forgave them. The question he asked Simon the Pharisee was, who loved the man more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one who forgave more. And Jesus told him that he had judged correctly. So Jesus is saying because the woman was a sinner and had many things to be forgiven, she was going to love Jesus more. You and I see that in people even today. Some of the people with the hardest backgrounds will have the most passion for Jesus because he saved them at their lowest point. How many people do you know that was saved from drug addiction or abuse or those types of things, and they're the ones that's on fire for Jesus, you know? He loved them when they had ultimately become unlovable. So back to the scriptures. So we remember how the Jews were big on hospitality. They gave a kiss of welcome, washed your guests' feet with water. They would give olive oil for their hands. They would anoint the heads of the honored guest. Watch these next few verses and really pay attention to who Jesus is directing his attention to. First, he turns to the woman. He turned his attention to the woman, the sinner, as he spoke to Simon. Just for a minute, can you imagine the love that she felt when Jesus was looking at her, not down on her like everybody else in the room? He looks at her and says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with her fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins are forgiven, for she loved much, but for whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The people who were sitting at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus wasn't bothered by them. I like that. He wasn't even bothered by what they had to say. He still keeps his focus on the woman, and he says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So maybe you're wondering why God put this particular message on my heart to share with you today on Mother's Day. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you poured it out all on Jesus' feet? Ladies, have you poured out your heartbreak, your pain, your suffering? Have you poured out your difficult child, your sick child, your wayward child, the guilt you feel when your best isn't enough? Have you poured it all out yet? Because Jesus is ready. He's ready to take it all. He's ready to look at you lovingly and say, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
So, thank you, Shelley, so much for that powerful and for that very challenging perspective on such a wonderful passage of Scripture. Because what we see there is quite the drastic contrast in two separate individuals, the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his home, and the woman who was uninvited but yet poured everything out on Jesus' feet. And so when we're looking at this, and as Shelley was talking through it, you start to see the difference. And so the question that I have for each and every one of us today is, which of those two individuals are you? Are you the Pharisee who thinks that all you do, your attendance at church, the amount that you give, the people that you help, the things that you physically do, do you think that that makes you worthy of being in the presence of Jesus? Are you the one who looks down on other people because they are not as good as you are, because they don't do as much as you do, they don't serve the way that you serve, and you think that you can earn your way into the goodness and the grace of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are you the woman who walks in uninvited, who no one expected to show up and be there, who no one else really welcomed in, but you knew that you were not going to let anything keep you from Jesus? You know you are not going to let anything or anyone stand in your way and tell you that you're not good enough, that you're unworthy. And you know what? It's because you know you're not good enough. You know you're unworthy of the grace and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But the great news and the good news of the gospel is that it doesn't matter what we look like, what our list of past sins are, His grace and His mercy and His love is for each and every one of us who is willing to surrender and to accept what He has done. And that is live the perfect life that you and I could not live. Jesus actually lived the life that the Pharisees thought they could, which was without sin. They couldn't, but He did. And then Jesus paid your price and my price on the cross by dying for our sins, taking the punishment that you and I deserved, not Him. He did nothing wrong. He did nothing to deserve death on the cross, but He took it because of love for you and for me. And then on the third day, He rose in victory over both sin and death, something that we could not do on our own. But yet now we have the opportunity to step into that victory, to have that victory because of Him, by faith in who He is, the life He lived, the death He died, and His resurrection. So I ask you again, which one are you? Are you the Pharisee who says, I can do it all and I can work my way into the grace of Christ? Or are you the woman who comes in and says, I am unworthy? I have an awful past that I am ashamed of. I know I don't deserve to be near you, Jesus, but I pour it out and I lay it all at your feet. Everything I have, every part of me. Because I think about as Jesus is reclined there at the table with his feet to the back. And then the only way that she is there, she can't reach his feet by standing up and wiping. No, she was on her knees, on her hands, at his feet. That is the posture of humility and surrender that we all must come to as we find and understand and recognize and realize our sin and the gravity of that sin that separates us from God, our Father. We fall at the feet of Jesus for what he has done and the offering that he gives to us, which is to receive and believe in him and who he is. So today, who are you? Are you the Pharisee that thinks you don't need Jesus? Or are you the woman who says, Jesus, I give it all to you. Nothing of this world matters. I surrender and I lay my life down at your feet for you to take it up. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. And I turn from my way to your way. And I give it all to you. So who are you today? Which one are you? As we get ready to close out, I'm going to pray for us. But I want you to understand, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Everyone who is in this house and all those who are watching online today, I'm going to give you a chance to pray a prayer. But I want you to understand the prayer is not magical. The words are not special. But rather it is the humility and the surrender and the posture of your heart and the faith that you have that Jesus is who he says he is. And his offer of salvation, his gift of salvation is extended to you if you will believe and surrender to him. So if everybody would, let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for being here. We thank you for allowing us to come and to gather together. We thank you for the message that you laid on Shelly's heart, that she would be bold enough and humble enough and obedient enough to come and to share with us. Lord Jesus, I believe that there are people in this house today, there are people who are watching online, that message was for us. Lord Jesus, I pray that ears will be open, that we hear your voice calling to us. Our eyes will be open, that we see your beauty before us, and our hearts will be open to believe and to receive exactly what you have for us today. Lord, if there is anyone here in this house or watching online who knows that they have never surrendered their life to you, they've been the Pharisee and always thought they had to work and earn your grace and your mercy. Lord, if there is anyone like that today, I pray that their hearts are changed, that their eyes are finally open to see that they are unworthy of your grace and mercy. They cannot earn it, but they can step in and be as the woman who falls at the feet of Jesus, knowing she is not worthy, knowing she cannot earn it, but knowing and understanding that that grace is poured out for her. So if that's you and you're in the house today or you're watching online and you are ready and willing to surrender your life to Christ, to lay it all down at his feet, I want you to pray this prayer with me. But again, understanding the words are not magical. And it's not because you recite this prayer, but rather it is the faith in your heart to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. So if that's you, I want you to pray this with me. And for those who are in the house, you already know Jesus. We're going to all pray this together for the benefit of those who are coming to faith, possibly for the very first time. So if you would, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe you are who you say you are. You live the perfect life. You died my death on the cross. You rose in victory over sin and death. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to follow you. Teach me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, knowing that you 100% fully surrender your life to Christ right now in this moment, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand. And if you're watching online, leave us a comment. Send us an email at hello@thevine.tv. Whatever you have to do, just reach out to us because we want to celebrate with you. So if that's you, respond when I count to three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, just raise your hand up. If you're watching online, leave a comment. Send us an email because we want to encourage you, to help you, and to walk with you and celebrate with you for this. For this wonderful moment, for your salvation that has been found in Christ Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do, for allowing us to be here gathered together on this wonderful Mother's Day. We thank you for the love that you show through the mothers in our lives that reflects you and your grace and your mercy. Lord, may you be with us as we gather together here again in this moment of time to worship. Lord, help us to lift our voices to you, to sing praises to you, to honor you, and to serve you right now in this moment, Lord. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
One, two.
Go stand and sing with us.
To do whatever you want.
You know my fat head had to get up here somehow today. Go ahead and have a seat. How about a great, awesome, awesome day today? Really quick, I've only got 70 questions. So let's give a hand to Shelly for awesome message. Thank you for sharing the word of the Lord. Thank you for the challenge that is given as we laid it all down as we just got to worship the Lord. Let it not just be words we sing. Let it be a surrender. Right now, this world needs it, right? Right now, this world has people who are afraid of their alabaster jar, the jar of their tears, and they're in shame, and we get to share the hope of the gospel. So wherever you go today to celebrate mom, which, by the way, make sure you send mom a text at least. Give her a phone call today. If she's not here with you, maybe she's passed and gone on. Maybe she's with the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise and some thanksgiving today for your mother, because you know what? You only got one. You only got one mama. So make sure you celebrate them well today, because they're the first thing that showed you the love of Jesus. And because of that, before you go, this is what we got for you. We got to do it right. So I'm the baby in my family, so we just got to do it right. All right. So before you go today, there's a bag over there, some tissue paper. You got some soap, right? Because nothing like clean hands. Mamas always have to yell at you to wash your hands. There's a stress relief candle, because if anybody needs some stress relief, Mama needs some stress relief. There's also some candy over there, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it's zero calorie. Don't look at the label. We've already prayed for it, so make sure you grab that. There's a photo. There's a nice little backdrop up there to get a picture with Mama, because you know what? She didn't make you dress up nice for nothing. So go over there. And last but not least, there's some other zero calorie food over in the garden, so make sure you grab that. So I just want to say thank you to each and every one of our Vine fam. Let's have an awesome rest of the day. We're trying to get you out in time, because I know the line at Wade's is pretty long. So if you want to jump in there, whatever you got to do, but we got something better than yeast rolls. We got Jesus, right? All right, so we're going to worship Jesus and continue to worship in Jesus. We can't wait to see your smiling face next week as we talk about men of the word. Get ready. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.